Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The show off.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the PHNX Suns podcast brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review.
Before we start, we have somebody who is at the other side of this pillar feeling very left out right now.
Okay.
Should we acknowledge him now or should we acknowledge him later?
I think we should ignore him for the entire season. Like, you know those 90s sitcoms where, like, Boy Meets World, the sister disappeared for, like, 4 years? I think we should just treat him like that this season, as if it never, in season one, he was there, but he doesn't exist anymore.
You talking about Shane?
I don't know what's happening, guys. I don't know who you're speaking of.
I think we acknowledge it now.
The former mustache behind the mask.
Let's throw up the graphic. R.I.P. the mustache behind the mask. Shane Diefenbach is no longer going to be the producer on this show. We thank him for his hours and his dedication, his service to the show, to the girthlings in the chat. Mm-hmm. But GTFO, Shane, because Emma's here.
Damn.
What's up, Emma?
Damn.
Emma in the house. Da, 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 da.
Oh, if you guys could see Shane's face.
Damn. I know. It was pure shock. I'm sorry, Shane.
Stabbed him straight up in the back.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't me, Shane.
But in all honesty, like, Shane has done so much for this program. Mm-hmm. He's been here religiously alongside us, mm-hmm, for just about every single show, mm-hmm, but Shane is moving on to bigger and better things right now. Still in the company, mm-hmm, still here.
Yes.
He hasn't left. He's got a lot of stuff to do, and so he's such a talented person that we saw an opportunity to get Emma on board and to give Shane another opportunity elsewhere. And that's
kind of with the giving him flowers crap. Emma's a better producer, so we brought her in to produce the best show on the network. That's what it comes down to.
So Espo doesn't understand how to run a company efficiently.
I just crapped on the producer and the other shows. How about
Espo
that?
Espo's trying to shit all over Shane. I will defend Shane.
Do you want me to unteach you everything I taught
him? I love that. I don't know. I love that I crapped on him and the other shows inadvertently.
Oh man.
We love you, Shane. Listen,
we have a lot of talented people here. All of the producers who have filled in on this show or been a part of it since the beginning, like Shane, are phenomenal. But like Saul said, Shane's on to other things.
He's going to produce
within this
videos
company.
For us.
He's going to make some cool content for all of us. Emma is a phenomenal producer. You guys will come to know and love her just as much as Shane, we promise. But we did have to do a little RIP Shane
situation. Leah, I couldn't get you on our production, so we went with Emma. Sorry.
Shall we talk a
little
bit of...
Jesus, now you threw Emma under the bus?
Oh, man.
What are you trying to do, destroy the show?
I'm trying to teach Emma what it's like to produce this program.
No, you're trying to
give her 3 minute crash course.
You're trying to teach her how it is to work with you.
He's disparaged like three separate producers in the last 45
seconds.
He's
just burning the whole house down.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going on vacation tomorrow, so you deal with it, Saul.
You know who's the best writer?
Oh, boy.
Craig Morgan.
Here we go. Here we go. I mean, he's not wrong, but here we go.
Should we talk about basketball?
Let's talk about basketball stuff.
Before Espo really breaks relationships here.
Lindsay, you're the best host.
So. Oh, God. Don't even start. Bill Simmons shared on his podcast recently some very interesting insight of what may have been going on behind the scenes around this Robert Sarver situation. Let's hear the clip.
What I heard was there was one last piece, a card that the league was going to play where MJ was going to be the last piece to come out and implore Sarver to sell. And that would have been a death blow for him and hugely embarrassing for a bunch of different reasons. That never had to happen, but it was going to happen. And I think once Sarver knew that Jordan was looming after LeBron, after Chris Paul, after some of the other people, the minority owner, then that was it.
Okay, my first question is, do you believe this?
Yes.
100%. Yes.
Listen, LeBron and Chris Paul can say and do a lot of things. All MJ has to do is hint at them, and they happen. That's how dominant the GOAT is.
I just picture MJ sitting there with his tablet, reading the 43 pages, and went, and I took that personally. And that was that. I think the threat of that would have been enough to get the other owners to consider voting him out. Mm-hmm. And when you're, we've talked about it, when you're that rich, you have a massive ego and you want to leave on your terms if you're about to get forced out.
Right. As the GOAT, as a current owner, he holds tremendous sway over the league, over the other owners. So this wouldn't surprise me. And I know that MJ, especially during his prime playing days, has taken a lot of flack for, the whole Republicans buy shoes too comments and for never really taking those kind of social justice stands that we've seen a lot of current athletes take. But I do think in recent years, he's gotten a lot better in that regard and learning that he holds a lot of influence and that it is important for him to speak up, to act on some of these important issues. So it doesn't really surprise me if that was actually true.
It just surprises me because I might have missed some things, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Michael Jordan come out and be like, this is my stance on X, Y, and Z.
Over the last couple of years,
he's been a little bit more vocal. Before really the last decade, he was pretty quiet. He operated behind the scenes. If you go back and watch The Last Dance, like he made the Republicans remark, but he also did contribute to somebody else who was highly favored in North Carolina at the time. And it was viewed that
right,
because
from like
he
a
said
donation
the
standpoint?
Yeah, exactly, the donation. But it was viewed because he made the Republicans remark that he was steering one way. And a lot of people just didn't sit well with that because of the things that were going on in North Carolina at the time. So I appreciate the fact that he's stepping up a little bit more. I think he understands what he means to the game overall. And for him to be able to step up and say something, if anybody's going to rally the troops, it's definitely going to be Michael Jordan because he has so much gravitas mm-hmm. in this game. So,
well, and I think, too, it was a different time when Jordan was playing. It wasn't the player empowerment era. So there were still things you could say that could damage your career if you were the most powerful athlete at the time. So I don't hold it against him during his playing days, but we knew he wasn't going to say people who use racist terms that don't have animus in their heart but maybe could be racist own franchises too in this case. It wasn't going to be like, or buy franchises too. It wasn't going to be like the shoe thing here. He was going to take a stance. And I have to say something. For the first time in my life, 30 years, I have hated Michael Jordan. I refuse to admit that he was better than Charles Barkley, that he was the best player ever. But you know what? Today on this program, I am officially dropping that stance after 30 years of ignorance and saying, Michael Jordan, you are the GOAT. You are the greatest basketball player of all time. And I hold no animus in my heart for you anymore. I applaud you for doing the right thing and helping Phoenix out. Thank you, sir.
How am I supposed to take you seriously from now on?
With the Charles Barkley thing?
I was 9 when his team ripped my heart out. What do you want? It wasn't logic-based.
But it's been 30 years.
Yeah, I hold grudges, Saul.
Oh, my God.
Want to find out?
Water is wet. Like, what?
It's okay. We need to clip that whole segment there before we got into that. I do want to bring up though, because this shouldn't be surprising based on what he said in the wake of the Donald Sterling thing, because he did come out and release a statement and said he hoped that Adam Silver would come down hard
on Sterling. There's no place in our league for that kind of racism and hatred. And then during, you know, the 2020 Black Lives Matter, he donated, I think, $100 million to organizations committed to fighting for social justice and released a statement as well. So like we said, over the last decade or so, he's been a lot more active on that front in using his influence and his resources for the betterment of these type of situations.
Real quick in the chat, Blue Gold is like shaking my head. You can't be serious. Jordan is not an activist. Please stop it, please. There's not a single person on this show that's saying he's an activist of any type. But you can still stand for something. Yeah. And if that's what he did, then cool. Nobody's saying that he's going out there leading the charge on a variety of different topics or issues and standing up against. We're not saying that. But what we are saying is that he stood up in this instance, or is rumored to have stepped up in this instance, to get rid of a person that is widely viewed as somebody that is not, that does not follow the NBA quote unquote code that they have kind of established here since Adam Silver took over. So move along. Okay.
You could also throw some weight around behind the scenes and push for change without being a public type of an activist, or the type of activist that we sort of associate that word with, right?
Right.
You can still, and Michael Jordan is one of those people who has a lot of weight he can throw around and make things happen by simply, like Bill Simmons was saying here, just even say, hey, if you don't do this, I'm going to come out and say something. Mm-hmm. Like, but we're not saying he's like a quote unquote activist, but that doesn't mean that he didn't actively participate in this.
And he can do something that's right, even if it's in his best self-interest here too, which it was. Mm-hmm. Having the disgrace be one of the 30 owners that are in his club hurts him as well as an owner. So standing up was in part good for himself too, and there's nothing wrong with that either. Mm-hmm.
So another thing that Bill Simmons mentioned during this podcast was that he believes the Suns could be sold for between $4 and $5 billion. Mm. Like when we talked about this initially, based on like the Forbes valuation and all the things, we were at like what, two, maybe three, if there was a bidding war. Mm-hmm. Between $4 and $5 billion, y'all.
We're gonna have to step up those donations to our fund to buy the Suns.
I'm gonna have to meet some really. We're gonna have to cut people off. Bob Iger, I'm sorry, but with 650 million, you aren't even getting in the room to discuss anything at this point. Yeah. If it goes for $4.5 billion, let's be honest there. But look, there he brings up a good point. There's limited teams, you know. There's automatically there's scarcity. And he says that, and I agree with him on this, the Suns are one of the top eight franchises in the league to own. Now, over the last 18 years, it hasn't felt like that, but the city, the history, the fan base, the fact that the arena was just renovated and they have a brand new $80 million practice facility, this is a top flight team, so it'll demand top dollar.
And you got to be careful. Like, I don't want to get into this whole like, oh, well, you know, they're not better than this franchise or this franchise. No. We're not talking about championship wins. We're not talking about any of that stuff. What we're talking about is just the other logistics of owning an NBA franchise. The fans, you can't dispute that the Phoenix Suns fans are some of the best in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the area, as you talked about, you know, the weather during basketball season is unbeatable here in the Valley. So listen, yeah, absolutely. It's a desirable place to hold, to own a franchise, 1,000,000%. I don't think there's very many franchises that can, top eight might just be, you know, kind of lenient in my opinion. I think it's one of the top five cities to own a franchise in.
Well, when you look at Woj's tweet from a few days ago too, he said that league executives around the NBA were saying that Phoenix could be a huge free agent destination with the right ownership. So I'm sure a lot of that is taken into account as well. And then all the stories that we've talked about over the last 2 weeks as well of free agents not wanting to come here because of the ownership. Yeah. Like that's a legitimate thing. And if you change that ownership and you have somebody in charge here, maybe all those free agents now truly do want to come here.
Well, and if you buy it, you're guaranteed large chunks of money coming in terms of the new TV contract and two expansion fees, right? So some of that's going to offset the cost of this team. When you get in the door, you're going to have some cash coming your way automatically from those two things. So I think that may push the value a little bit higher as well.
Well, I keep looking. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep looking at the Golden State Warriors. You know, the Golden State Warriors for the longest time were just kind of, they were abysmal. They were not very good. Since their championship in the 70s, they've been a very mid-tier franchise until that ownership group took over and, you know, and things completely changed. Obviously, they got, you know, Steph Curry involved and stuff. But, I mean, that whole – now you look at that, you look at Golden State, it, like, in a completely different way than you did in the 90s and the early 2000s because of what they've done over there. And I think Phoenix could easily be a similar model.
Right. You've got a better team coming off of a finals run in the last 2 years and the league best record. So you've got the talent. You've got the nice jerseys. You've got the revamped arena. You've got the brand-new practice facility. Like, this is definitely a place where players want to play, and that boosts up the value a lot.
I just came back from New York, and I'm just going to say this right now. I just came back from New York, and that dumpster fire of a city, I cannot stand, and I absolutely, to the grave, I will say that Phoenix is a much better city than New York. You can have the millions of people you want there, and all the crime, and all the freaking crazy shit that I saw walking around those streets. It's not a top-tier destination. That's why the Knicks suck. That's why the Nets suck. I don't care.
That's a you problem. So
it was a good vacation then?
But, it was mid.
It was mid.
Man. Speaking of Warriors.
The food was great.
Food's speaking great. Of Warriors ownership, I don't think I told this story. When we were at Summer League and you had given me the edible, I ran into Joe Lacob.
Because that's how we roll.
I ran into Joe Lacob, the owner, the billionaire owner of the Warriors. At a stand where I was, where he was buying honey roasted nuts, literally, no lie. And I was like, "Oh my God, it's Joe Lacob. He's super." I'm like, "I don't know how to act. Like, I'm like, don't embarrass yourself." No, I was like, "Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass yourself," because I was feeling it at the time.
The edible took a turn.
See, that's when you go up to him like, "Oh, those nuts look warm."
Speaking of edibles, OGs, our friends over there, just did something that is going to totally change the game. They just launched their brand new Sleep Edition gummies, and you guys won't want to sleep on these. But yes, you heard me right. OGs is now flavoring dreams with a 2-to-1 THC-CBN ratio gummy. Now, CBN is a compound that helps specifically with falling and staying asleep. And this Sleep Edition gummy is in their new aqua berry flavor, which is quite delightful. We highly recommend you guys check out OGs online at OGsBrands.com and on Instagram at OGsBrands. You can also find their products at your local dispensary, but you must be 21 years or older to purchase.
Listen, I just want to clarify something. I didn't force Espo to eat an edible.
Did he say you forced him to eat it?
I just want to make sure that it's out there. I said, "You want one?" He was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Cool, you're in a safe space because I'm right by you. We're going to sit here, we're going to watch some basketball, and we're going to fucking trip out. It's going to be fun as hell."
It wasn't that safe of a space. I got lost on the concourse. One giant circle. I got lost.
He walked around five times.
Then I ran into Joe Lacob, damn it. It was weird.
Oh my okay, God. But real quick, going back, because in the chat, somebody had mentioned that the league holds Phoenix back and doesn't want it to win a championship. However you feel about that is your prerogative. But you know how we have been complaining for years about the way the media speaks about us and it feels like we always get the short end of the stick? Well, maybe that was there's a tinge of truth to that based on what people in those spaces knew about what was going on in Phoenix. Oh, yeah. I know they'll never actually come out and say it, because if anybody at the league office even knew remotely what was going on here and didn't like bring it up or bring attention to it, they'd probably get a lot of backlash for that, and rightfully so. But it makes you ask the question, if the players all knew and didn't want to come play here from a free agency standpoint, did at least people know of the rumors of how bad it
Look,
was?
The league wasn't... The only way I buy the league was holding them down kind of thing is potentially the refs during that 7 seconds or less run didn't like the owner for particular things that were being said to them from the sidelines. I can understand that kind of bias, but there is not some giant, huge conspiracy to not let the Phoenix Suns win a championship. And I'm Mr. Tinfoil Hat, damn it, and I don't even buy that one. So
I think I was
away.
Speaking more so from like the media side of things.
I mean, I could
see. Like if I was on media, ESPN yeah. and I had heard all the rumors of what was going on, I would shit on the Suns too.
Well, think about it. Jalen
every
Rose
chance
played
I got.
Here, he should, he yeah, was one of the
every
guys.
Chance
the,
I got, I would throw them under the bus and I would never go out of my way to lift them up because I knew what was going
from
on.
From a player's perspective, I could see that and how that would infiltrate the media. But I'll be honest, I was in the arena with you on multiple occasions. Like I was, the only thing I ever heard was that Sarver was basically an asshole. Like, and that he always overstepped his bounds when it came to the players and coaches. I never heard all this other stuff, right? So I do kind of wonder how much of that actually bled down to, like, the players, for instance, outside, did the Jalen Roses and the Jamal Crawfords know what was going on behind closed doors with you guys and stuff like that? Like, did they know? Mm-hmm. Or, because... I mean, listen, like, there's other players that are still a part of this franchise that I wish would have said something, and they never did.
They may not have known the specifics on the business side, but they knew everything on the basketball side, and there was just as much on both sides that makes you dislike this or want to be completely distance yourself from that name, organization, face, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you there were players that knew more things.
Yeah, I had a couple ex-players tell me over the last week a couple things that I was like, oh, wow. All right. Yeah, they knew things. Mm-hmm. So.
For sure. I don't know. It was just a thought that maybe that's one reason why the media constantly trashes on the Suns, too, is because there's like a little bit of bias there based on relationships they've built with players mm-hmm. and people around the league, too.
Certainly. Think of some of the people who have been in NBA media and had a national voice. Amin Elassane.
Yeah. He's one of the guys that I was telling that I was alluding to when mm-hmm. I was saying we probably owe people like him mm-hmm. an apology as well, because I know I've seen multiple people bash Amin for bashing the Suns, but he was in the thick of it, y'all.
Look, he knew a lot of things. You got Channing Frye, who went through it and had his issues with this franchise and the way they treated him. Richard Jefferson, obviously close with Channing and others. Jalen Rose saw it and talked about it. Like, it was one of the worst kept secrets, and I think there was definitely some twinge of that with national media for mm-hmm. sure.
Well, either way, we know Bob's out, Herm's out, ASU has a new coach, and that means we're going to be having an awesome tailgate this Saturday at Four Peaks, and you guys should come hang out with us. $50 will get you access to the all-you-can-eat buffet. The buffet is loaded with chicken wings, nachos, pizza, barbecue grilled chicken sandwiches, pulled pork barbecue sandwiches, and also some dessert. They're going to have pumpkin porter cheesecake, which sounds delightful, and donut holes. Plus, you'll get to hang out with all of the guys from the PHNX Sun Devils show, and you'll get 2 4 Peaks beers and a free ride to the stadium. It's going to be a great time. You guys should come hang out. And the icing on the cake, y'all, the first 15 people to sign up will receive a ticket to the game and a PHNX membership. So the next 15 people to sign up will receive this awesome package that is valued at $150 for just $50. So check the link in our show notes to sign up. Just a reminder, you do have to be 21 years or older to enjoy Four Peaks beer, and we ask that you enjoy responsibly.
Cool.
You guys ready for some burning questions?
It's going to be a fun event, by the way.
It just is.
I'm not even an ASU fan.
I'll be there.
I'll be there too.
I'll be there too.
Are you guys going to wear ASU shirts or are you going to wear U of A shirts?
I ain't wearing an ASU shirt. I'll wear an ASU shirt. PHNX shirt.
I don't think. Do you
what about
have
ASU colors?
U of A shirts?
Do I guess I have U of A shirts?
How many?
Well, I have two.
What does that even mean?
I'm questioning
Wildcats.
His fandom right now.
I have a hoodie. I have a pullover. I actually have 3 of our U of A shirts.
Do you have any of our ASU shirts?
Well, I will soon. I'll have a Josh Jones shirt.
Do you?
So. Yeah.
Are you going to wear it?
I have the Josh Jones shirt, and then I have I'm getting the Ignited shirt.
Are you going to wear them?
I mean, I'm not going to wear them tomorrow.
Why not?
Because I can't have people thinking that I like
just
ASU.
Lean into it, Saul. Lean into it.
No.
Whatever, fine. Let's move on to burning questions. We've got more burning questions to talk about today.
Oh, look at that.
That's something else, huh?
Look at that.
Whoa.
And today we're going to take a look at the new faces. That.
Did you really?
I did that.
Thank look you at you.
Impressive. Flowers to Espo.
How about that?
We're going to take a look at the new faces on the Sun Squad. Actually. And we're going to be asking the burning question, what are your expectations for them? You guys ready for this?
Let's do it.
Let's start with Jock Landale. So the Sun sent some cash to the Hawks to get Jock after their trade with the Spurs. He's a 26-year-old Australian big man with just 1 year of NBA experience. He's worked and continues to work hard to make himself into a stretch big who can space the floor. But he's still got a little bit of a ways to go. He's not a freak athlete, but he is smart and crafty. And obviously, of course, not having crazy athleticism defensively, not the greatest perimeter defender, but he's reliable on the inside. So, or the interior. What are you guys' thoughts on
really,
Jack?
Really hyping this guy up right now.
Listen, I will do my best to give these guys flowers.
I don't really expect him to get much playing time this year. I love Jock. He's been on the show. Friend of the program, as they say. But, yeah, I don't really... He might get Ish Wainwright minutes from like a year ago when, you know, teams would be up or we'd be up by like 30, maybe. But I don't really see much of a contribution on his end.
He's got a non-guaranteed contract. So he's got to show something in training camp and in preseason to even make the roster. I think he will. I think he'll be a fan favorite. He'll be that guy that gets in for a few minutes, has that hustle, will hit a three every once in a while and grab some boards, and people get hyped about him, but I don't think he'll see any major minutes.
He's no Aaron Holiday.
I mean, he might be too in soon. That regard if yeah. he's not going to play very much, but I think with Jock, it's tough because I think he could be kind of a insurance plan if Dario Saric comes out and does not play like the Saric he used to be coming off those two leg injuries, because Jock does bring that floor spacing element that DA and Bismack don't bring to the table right now. He's a pretty decent passer. He would fit within 0.5, but he does have to prove that he can be effective from three, because last year he only shot about 37% or 33% from three. That's not going to cut it. But he is a clever little role guy. He's good in the pick and pop. And even though he doesn't block a lot of shots, he's a very good positional interior defender. So he could fill a couple minutes a game here and there. He could help with the regular season slog, but he'd really have to show something to work his way into a playoff rotation.
I don't know that he'll be able, if Dario doesn't come out and play the way that they expect him to quite fill the role. I don't think you're saying he's going to be the distributor that Dario
no.
is.
No.
That whole expectation out of that third center spot would have to change dramatic, or second center spot in some case would have to change dramatically if Jock Landale's the guy that you're having to count on. I think he'll give some great post game press conference comments if he has a flash in the pan game. I'm sure we'll see him back here, but I don't expect anything big.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
What are your expectations?
I like the guy. I think it'll be fun to watch him play in his very limited minutes.
How much do you think he's going to play a game?
Less than what he was on this show.
Oh, man.
Well, wait. Then he'd have to play overtime, like double overtime.
I mean, over the course of a long time, he'll probably add up to that.
Oh, I thought you meant per game. I was like, that.
No, I know. Come on, Espo.
He's going to play 60 minutes?
The math on that is definitely not
Iron Man.
I think he's going to also be a really good locker room guy. I'm sure a lot of these guys on this list are all going to be pretty good locker room guys.
Some of
because.
Them are, yeah.
They're all fit into that bucket of we understand where we are in the NBA as far as the totem pole goes. We understand that we have to try and do our best to meet the assignments we are given, stay ready at all times, and be positive voices in that locker room and not be the wet blankets who are like, well, I'm not getting enough playing time. Because that ain't going to cut it. You're going to get the boot real quick.
Lindsay, are there any guys that did that while you were over there that was an impression of?
No.
There is.
There's a question mark at the end there.
Oh, come on. Give us a year.
Let's talk about Josh Okogie.
Give us a year.
Josh Okogie, he's a great... you guys are the worst. He's a 23-year-old forward on a minimum contract that pays just under $2 million. Solid defensive player, but he does have some shortcomings offensively.
Yeah, he's butt offensively.
Not great.
He's just in-depth glad he analysis. To, he's butt.
Not great,
he's
Bob. Butt.
He's just but, glad he doesn't have to wear those highlighter uniforms.
But I will say, I will say this though. You know, we're talking about Jay Crowder. Mm-hmm. You know, Okogie is a very, you know, he's a very good defender. You can see him maybe a little bit kind of supplementing whatever you might lose with Jay Crowder to a degree. So, you know, I think it was a great, you know, I think it's a good, it's a nice low budget haul for the Suns. So I do like him. I think he's probably going to average somewhere between 10 and 15 minutes a game.
I would love to see a lineup of Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, Okogie, Cam Johnson, and DA out there. The defense on that unit would be spectacular. And then you just bury him in the corner. And if he gets an open look, great. Not the numbers don't... The numbers don't say give him any look. I get that, but
yeah, if he did, that'd be phenomenal.
The defense excites me because this team, in large part, was predicated on how good they were on defense, and this guy adds to it. I don't think he's going to get huge minutes, but he could play spot minutes where, you know, those two or three stops in a game that the defense gets when he's in there could swing the whole thing later on. I mean, every possession you get a stop throughout the game is a good one, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do in those minutes.
Right. In terms of his defense, he's only 6'4", but he has a pretty sizable wingspan, and he is an elite point of attack defender. Like, if you look at the numbers on the basketball index, 95th percentile in adjusted turnover rate, 86th percentile in pickpocket rating, 93rd in passing lane defense. Like, he's a guy that creates a lot of offense out of defense. The problem, obviously, is the three-point shooting. He's a career 28% three-point shooter. He hasn't cracked 30% in a single season. And that's with the majority of his shots in his career being wide open, what NBA.com calls wide open. He's made just 30% of his wide open threes in his career.
That's including the gym when he's shooting with in practice.
Yeah. So typically
coaches won't even let you leave until you hit at least 7 or 8 in a row. So he must be in the gym forever.
He's locked in there like the transformation center.
So do you think it's a lack of talent, a lack of confidence? What do you think it is? Or do you think he has the potential to maybe get over that hump?
Oh, no.
He's 23.
If you can't shoot right now, you don't have it. Like, you don't. It's not something that you can really, like... Sure, you can get marginally better, but bro, you are wide open like a lot of times. Like, that's the difference, right? Wide open buckets should be automatic. Like, you should be salivating when you get a wide open bucket, but this dude is probably shaking his knees.
Right. And it does kind of seem like a mental thing with him, because I think it was Mark Stein or someone that tweeted out earlier a few months ago about Okogie saying, like, Minnesota Timberwolves people don't understand his three-point shooting, because in practice, like, he's a good three-point shooter, and it just has not translated to games during his time in the league. So it's kind of one of those baffling things where he knocks him down in practice, but he's not a game-type guy at this point.
Here's a quick question. How many times did we see DeAndre Ayton in practice for the first 2-3 years?
I have a video on my phone of him knocking down threes, eight threes
like
in crazy, a row.
And then he never shot him in the game.
Yeah, but DA, but it's different because DA's release is wonkier based on what we've seen. Like, Okogie doesn't have a terrible release. It's not pure, but it's not and he's at a position where he should be shooting threes.
Yeah.
Whereas DA is more of a guy that you have to grow into kind of that skill. I don't know.
But let's be honest, with the minimal amount he was shooting, the difference between 28% and getting up to 33 to 35% that's respectable is a handful of makes.
Right.
Right? So I don't think it's impossible that he becomes, you know, okay in that, you know, where he could hit some shots and get out of his head, yeah, he's not going to be lights out. He's never going to be a guy that you're counting on. But if he can get in that 33% range, you can trust him to be out there for longer minutes.
Right. Even if he can pull like a Torrey Craig did, especially the first year that he came to the Suns where he shot like 35, 36%, like you would take that because he is an elite defender. He gets a lot of steals. He gets a lot of blocks for a guy at his position. And if he, even if he's been cold for the whole game or whatever, and you need to stop down the end, Monty can throw him in for a play or two just to get a defensive stop, and he can be that type of guy. So I wouldn't expect a ton in terms of minutes, but if he's even just average on offense, he could make a difference. And that's the other part, is that he's only converted 54% of his shots at the rim, which was in the 10th percentile. So he's a guy that takes 93% of his shots from three or at the rim, but doesn't shoot well in either category. So that's a tough combo.
I'm excited that we got another inconsistent perimeter shooter. You can never have too many of those.
Speaking of that, when he said Torrey Craig, I went, oh my God, we still got Torrey Craig on the shots. Yeah.
Somebody in the chat said he's a younger Torrey Craig. So
cool. Great, we got two Torrey Craig.
Let's add him to Shamit, and we got the fierce.
Hello brings up a really good point though. Hello said he just needs that Monty love, you know, with the right voice behind you, encouraging you and lifting you up, maybe. Just maybe.
Josh,
it can make a difference.
It's okay. Well done is better than well said. We're not going to get happy on the farm. You're just going to go out there and you're going to shoot. It's all going to be okay, Josh.
I can imagine Monty in the huddle just like trying to coach him up, but at the same time throwing shade like, guys, eventually Josh is going to start hitting.
And then
we're going to really make a run here. It's okay that he just missed 17 in a row. Oh. It's okay. One of these has to fall.
Josh, when you're wide open, just feel my love embrace, my warming love of above your skill set, and be able to hit from the corner. How is that going to help him that Monty's a good dude? Like, that's not going to make a guy hit a shot.
It was a joke, Aspo.
I get it.
The let it fly approach.
But then I go down that whole rabbit hole of what would that actually be like, I don't see it. It's not going to help.
Okay, let's talk about Damian Lee. Oh,
same thing. Ain't going to help.
All right. Joined the Suns on a one-year deal. He is a 29-year-old forward who recently played with the Warriors. Again, shocking. An effective role player who does what is asked of him and is a great locker room guy.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on Damian Lee?
It's like that phrase, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. And that's how I feel about a lot of these guys. There's only one guy, to be honest, that I do like out of this group that we're going to talk about, that I think will actually prove to be a benefit. But I mean, these guys they're all roster fillers. They're all hoping to get a chance to make an impact on this team, but none of them move the needle. None of them are going to give you more than they have their entire careers. What they have shown is what you're going to get. So you're going to get some very mid-level play. You're just hoping that they don't cost you games, but they don't lose them for you. They just hold their own.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever gone to Circle K or Fry's, whatever, and get like a handful of quick picks for the Powerball? You're like, I'm gonna take a mm-hmm. chance, right? Mm-hmm. That's all these guys that they signed this offseason. It's if they can find their shot, if they can perform better, slightly better than they have, they'll be a guy that could add something to this team. They're a bunch of quick picks, flyers. You're hoping that maybe something comes of them. And Damian Lee falls right in the same category of what we're talking about with Okogie from an offensive perspective. It's if he can find that rhythm, if he can hit those shots. Last year was a rough one for him.
They're the basketball version of Dash Deals. DoorDash deals.
At least he comes with championship experience, right?
But
he's played next to really great athletes. He's seen the work that needs to be put in.
Lindsay, like, I have championship.
I'm doing the best that Lindsay, I can here.
I have championship experience. I watched the Bucks play.
Hold on. That's like saying Saul gets better from sitting between you two. It's like it doesn't transfer somehow.
No, I lift them up.
Yeah, sure. You guys.
Next year when we do the new guys, it's just going to be me and Lindsay, so we don't spend 45 minutes shitting on all the new guys.
Damian Lee,
I didn't shit on any new guys.
Hold on a second.
I was actually thinking of Emma and the producers. My bad.
Hey, Damian Lee's got a great brother-in-law.
I'm not shitting on him.
Yes, you are.
I'm not shitting on him. I'm just saying what they are. They're just mid-level basketball players.
He actually wishes he could be as good as not Steph, but Seth Curry, his other brother-in-law. That's what he's hoping for here. Right?
Look, Damian Lee had a down shooting year last year for sure. He only shot like 34% from three, but it was about 40 the year prior. He just missed a lot of open shots last year for whatever reason. But he is a good off-screen guy. He's good coming off cuts. So he's going to be kind of one of those movement guys that you're going to see flying around a lot of screens. And he was effective shooting at the rim. I think he shot 82% at the rim, but he didn't take a ton of shots from there. So that's something, if the Suns can find a way to work his off-ball movement into their offense, he could be a decent bench piece for 10 to 15 minutes a night.
I look forward to interviewing Damian Lee later in the season and not mentioning anything we said today.
Yeah.
Well, try Monday. Oh, hey, didn't you just say I was garbage on Monday? Like,
I hope he says that to you.
I didn't say garbage. I said you were like a DoorDash deal. Like, we hope it's good, but I don't know.
Oh, God. Fine. You want me to go? You want me to come to the dark side and be pessimistic here?
Let's go.
I hope the Suns hit up their friends at More Furniture so that the seats they'll be sitting on all season long are at least comfortable.
Does that work?
And Suns, if you haven't hit up More Furniture, maybe you should, to get some really comfy seats during their fall furniture sale.
Make sure your bench players, maybe you should.
It just came out that way.
It sounded like Christopher Walken all of a sudden came in here trying to sell more furniture.
Need more cowbells.
And if you guys need more cowbells or really good furniture, you should also check out More Furniture. That's morfurniture.com.
Hey, I'm selling furniture here.
If it works, it works. Okay, I don't know. We haven't gotten the ROI yet.
Emma just walked over and goes, Shane, can you take this show back, please?
Yeah, I'm actually calling him right now.
Charles said that was mid-Chelsea. Let Lindsay do the ad, please.
I got a fever. And the only cure. Okay, cowbell.
One more for you. One more for you. This one's genuine. I want you to stay safe and healthy. I don't want you to have a fever like Gilbert in the chat. And a great way to stay safe and healthy are COVID-19 vaccines, and they are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azl.gov/findvaccine for a location near you.
You know that's not what that is, right?
Yes, I get
it. I'm just making sure. I don't know what you know, Lindsay, so I got to make sure.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is a COVID vaccine.
It was a joke. Jeez, you guys.
Just making sure. I don't know what's going on.
We got to have some fun.
Damn. That was a horrible transition. Right now. Sheesh. Okay, fine.
That's good.
Let's move on to Dwayne Washington Jr.
Let's go, Dwayne.
I'm just going to talk real sad now. He joined the Suns on a two-way contract. He's a 22-year-old point guard.
Dwayne does not deserve your slander, Lindsay.
9 points and 1.8 assists for the Pacers in 48 games last season. Go.
I love Dwayne Washington.
I'm excited for Dwayne.
Same.
I'm not going to crap on this.
I love how you guys are excited for the guy on the two-way contract, but not the other guys.
I don't give a shit about the other guys. I feel like I saw flashes of him last year that I really, really like, and I think if they don't Aaron Holiday it up, that my man's going to get a fair chance to actually have a legitimate contribution to this team. I don't know what to expect from campaign this year. I don't think anybody does. So that's, you know, that's a mixed bag of who knows. But what I do know is that Dwayne Washington, I feel like he has the tools, the mindset to be able to make it not only on the roster, but consistently play for this team and give a good solid 10 minutes a game.
And he told us he wants to dunk on Book in practice.
Yes.
I love a guy that's like, I don't care if he's the face of our franchise, I want to dunk on him in practice.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he's got confidence. You're not going to question if it's a mental thing with him, because his confidence is through the roof.
Yes.
Right. And that's great, especially because his minutes are probably going to fluctuate based on injury and need and all that kind of stuff. And he's going to need confidence to be able to go in there and actually do something.
I'm
going to
make a prediction right now.
Okay.
By the end of the year, Dwayne Washington will be the number 2 point guard behind Chris Paul.
Oh, man. I mean,
dude, that's how much I love you, Dwayne.
If he does,
don't let me down.
If he does, I'd be enthralled because that means he's played really good basketball.
Exactly.
And I
there's been horrible injuries. Oh,
stop. I don't want that to happen.
But
he's
that,
right.
I
he's
mean,
right. Look, Dwayne can create his own offense, and on a team like the Pacers that wasn't very good, the results were kind of mixed, but he did shoot the ball well from three, 38%, shot 47% on corner threes and 41% on catch and shoot threes. And he took and made a ton of those corner shots. So he's really good in that regard. I do wonder about his finishing at the rim because he's a guy that he can create his own offense. He can get there, but he doesn't get there often and he doesn't shoot the ball well around the rim. So he's going to have to improve in that regard. And he hasn't shown a ton in the playmaking department, which is what you're going to need if he's going to pass campaign in the pecking order. So I like him a lot. I hope that he does well. And I think getting him on a two-way slot is a really great value move for the Suns because way too often we've seen this team just totally abandon development. They don't even have a G League team right now.
That might change.
Well, now
that was a money thing.
Now that might change. But
yeah, they're going to be playing at the Amazon Arena up in Flagstaff now.
But it is good that they got a guy like him on a two-way deal. I think he does have upside. I don't know about second guard in the rotation, but if he does, that'd be phenomenal.
Don't doubt me, Gerald.
And last but not least, the Suns' most recent pickup, Frank Jackson. This came down just a few days ago per Shams. The Phoenix Suns are signing guard Frank Jackson to a non-guaranteed deal. So
did him dirty.
Who did this
picture?
Photo?
What the hell? Tongue sticking out.
Tongue sticking out like he's salivating.
It's an enticing basket he's about to make right
so
there.
So with Frank, of course, we're going to have to wait and see since it's a non-guaranteed deal how he does in training camp and what he's able to show.
I mean, he's well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're not going to have to wait and see that long. This is I'm here for the preseason and I'm likely not here on the roster.
Yeah, Frank Jackson, there was so much hype about him coming out of high school, going to Duke. He had a lot of solid players around him at Duke, and then he got to the NBA and things just have not lined up for him. He's had a lot of injuries. He's one of those tweener guys where he can handle the ball, but he's not an elite ball handler to the point where you can really feel confident with him at the point guard position. And he's not a good enough playmaker or shooter to be the two, and he's not big enough to play the two in the NBA. So he's just in between. I call it the Arizona guys. Because we've had so many tweeners, Raleigh Alkins and Alonzo Trier, a bunch of guys that were in between positions and they fizzled out and they never really made it. So I feel like that's what Frank Jackson is. Hopefully I'm wrong, but yeah, I don't see it.
That's a good point about the tweener thing because I wrote about Frank Jackson on GoPHNX today because this week was a whirlwind. We didn't really have time to talk about him very much, but he's 6'3", and like you said, he's not a playmaker, career average of one assist per game through his first 4 years in the league, and I think he was in the 12th percentile in pick and roll ball handler points per possession. So not a guy that you're going to look to as a campaign alternative as far as running the offense. He's more of a quick trigger guy but a slow release on his shot.
Exactly what you want.
Yeah, and it's not a great combo.
Quick trigger, but slow.
He'll pull the trigger quick, but the release, it's going to take a while.
Oh, so he knows he wants to shoot. It just takes a little while to finally.
Yeah, his release is a little slower than it needs to be. He got blocked on a couple of threes just watching some of his film from last year. He's not a guy that can score off the dribble a ton, but he does really well off the ball on cuts. The Pistons had him running off screens a ton. He was actually in the 95th percentile in off screen shots per 75 possessions, but he didn't shoot well. He was in the 4th percentile in points per possession on those off screens. So he's a guy that they had running off picks left and right, but he couldn't really do a lot with them. So the Suns are going to have to find a way to tap into something that they feel comfortable giving him that last roster spot.
He sounds like the kind of guy that the Suns would have had about 5 years ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That you would have just...
Yes.
He was your lottery protection to make sure that you stayed high in that lottery.
Who are the guards
Isaiah
again?
Isaiah Kanan.
Yeah, Shaq Harrison.
Mike James. Yeah. Let me just say,
Kendall Marshall.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson. You are not for real.
This guy. This guy. I like that. I will give you credit for the Outcast reference.
There you go.
So does this make you guys feel any type of way with the season just around the corner that these are the new faces on the team? Well, or are you, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, How worried or concerned are you?
Why are you trying to set me up for failure right now?
What do you mean?
Listen, like...
And not necessarily just about these guys that we're talking about, just as a whole, this being a lot of the people you'll see coming off the bench, is that concerning to you or not?
Yeah, very much so. Like, they don't have a bench. They don't have a bench right now. Like, if you think Cam Johnson is going to start, then you're basically saying that the second five off the bench, Cam Payne, Jay Crowder, Dario,
Landry Shamet,
like, are you happy about those guys? I'm not. Like, I think the thing is that we thought KD was going to come in, possibly, or if that didn't happen, another domino was going to fall somewhere else, but that never happened. Mm-hmm. And now you got a solid starting five, maybe six or seven, and that's about as deep as you are right now. And you have to hope that two things happen. Somebody from this group that we've just talked about steps up and takes their game to a whole nother level, or Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges find that next level, being able to contribute offensively and really be consistent enough to really dominate teams. Other than that, we're feeling so hot about this team.
We're going to find out if James Jones is as good as we've all thought he is, because there's going to need to be in-season movement to solidify that bench. And at what price does it come? Can you pull it off? And can you keep this team in contention? Because the starting five is very, very good. It's the key pieces that got you to 64 wins. But that bench looks very troublesome. Unless Landry Shamet finds some way to put the cape on and all of a sudden to be that guy on the bench to score, you're going to need to make a move.
And the reason why Mikal and Cam are so damn important is because with that five, let's just say that's the starting five. With that five, you don't necessarily, obviously you're not going to, it's not, you know, it's not hockey subs. It's like, it's not five in and five out, yeah. But you can stagger everybody to the point, because you have five legitimate players that are your starters, and you can stagger it and always have one or two guys that consistently get you a bucket, that can play at a high level, so where you don't have to rely on the bench so much. But if Cam and Mikal don't step their games up and play at a high level, now you're down to three, basically two and a half with Old Man River being the point guard, and now you have to heavily rely on the bench. You have to heavily rely that Cam Payne is going to go back to form from 2 years ago. You have to hope that Dario rebounds from his injuries. There's just a lot. I'm saying the word hope a lot because that's what it is. Like, this would be the season of, oh, I hope this shit goes well.
But that's the danger of internal development.
Yes, but I also think you have young players on this team that are worth investing in, that are worth taking that risk on and seeing what they can do. And look, I'm not going to mince words. Like, the bench is worse than it was last year. But at the same time, what did we all talk about after the playoff series when they flamed out? We don't care how many games they win in the regular season. It's all about the playoff rotation. As of right now, they have not really improved it outside of hoping for internal development. But they can amend that in the coming months, depending on who becomes available. And I do want to point out something that kind of has broke during the show, because I know a lot of people are upset with the Suns not doing anything, not bringing in new faces, not addressing the bench. John Gambadoro did tweet during the show, talks with the Suns and Jazz broke down over Bojan Bogdanović when Phoenix wanted Utah to add young power forward Jared Vanderbilt to the package. Now, this is something that we had talked about on the show, how much we liked Vanderbilt as far as his defense, his rebounding, what he would bring to the table. That's an acceptable answer to me, because I feel like Jay Crowder in a first round pick is more valuable than Bojan would have been to this team. But if you were asking for Jared Vanderbilt and you were trying to push for that deal, that makes sense to me. And if Utah didn't want to go for it, then so be it. But it's not like he's not trying. And I think that would have been a really good haul if they had been able to pull that off.
Yeah, I don't think James Jones is locked in his office up at the training center and not doing anything, just staring at the wall going, well, I hope this works this year. Like, he's trying to find options, but the key is, as general manager, it's what you actually get done. I don't care how many conversations you had, how close you get. In the end, it's what guys can you bring in? And that's, in the end, that's what he's going to be judged on this year, is who can he bring in to help solidify this, fortify it, and get you to at least the Western Conference Finals. If you don't get to the Western Conference Finals, it's a failure. You've backslid again, I think.
Well, and also going back to your point about, you know, the regular season doesn't matter. Or it doesn't matter in our eyes because we've seen the regular season and then it fizzled in the playoffs. What I will say, though, is like it does matter a little bit because I think this year's regular season matters way more than last year because we're not the clear front runners. There's obviously there. I mean, many teams have improved. The Pelicans are getting Zion back, and they gave us problems in the playoffs. Like Dallas is Dallas. The Warriors. I mean, the list goes on and on. The Clippers. Everybody got healthy. Denver's back. You know, like so. This regular season, I wouldn't expect a 60 win season or 55 win season. Like it. You just need to make sure that you're one of the top six.
Right.
That's the key. And so I think right now, as we speak, the Suns right now are teetering between that 4-8 spot because of how much better everybody has gotten and because they lost a little bit in the offseason and didn't really add anything to replace it. You still need that third or fourth scorer that can get a bucket at any moment. And like I keep saying, I think this whole season hinges on two guys and two guys alone. It is Cam Johnson and it is Mikal Bridges. That is it. I think everybody else, you know what you're going to get with. Those two guys, they got to go up to a whole nother level if this team's going to be competing with the Golden State Warriors for a championship.
I'm going to call it right now. Denver isn't going to be the problem. Denver is not going to be an impediment to this team.
I'm sure not just that team, but there's a lot of
no,
other
no,
teams
no. I know. I just don't
the
think
Grizzlies.
And I agree with you. The regular season, it's not meaningless because obviously you want one of those top six spots. You don't want to be in a play-in spot. I wouldn't put them in 4-8 though. I would say they're still a top four team in the West just because they're going to with the
you
with
think
the starting five that they have, they're going to churn out
four to 50, eight. So 55 wins. 4-8 is I mean like so that means you think they're one of the top three teams in the West.
Yeah, I would still say so. They have a ton of continuity on their side. Like the Grizzlies, they just lost D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson. Like the Mavs, they lost Jalen Brunson. The Warriors, they're content with churning out wins at a decent pace. They only won like 53 games and won the title this year. I think the Suns are going to be in that kind of similar boat where regular season success is not as important to them as much as experimenting. It'll cost them a win or two, and the bench might cost them a win or two. But, like, at the end of the day, they're still going to win 50 to 55 games. I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Warriors, Clippers, Suns? Is that the three at the top for
you? That's probably the order that I'd go, yeah.
I think they're three or four. I with the starting lineup and the consistency, but I think the bench is going to haunt them on multiple occasions this season where that starting unit's going to have to do a lot of work just to keep them above water.
Which could hurt them if we're talking about looking ahead to playoffs. If the guys have to log heavier minutes or a heavier burden because the bench sucks, obviously that's a big problem. I don't think it'll be that bad of an issue, but we'll see.
But that's the thing. We talk about Chris Paul needing less time. There's nobody you can trust to give him that rest, you know, right now. So you're going to have to basically surrender some of those minutes. If you want him to get rest.
Yeah, I mean, right now, like, if you're looking at a grading system right now, you got an A with Booker, you got an A minus B plus with Chris Paul because of his age and going down and injury history in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You got a B in DA, you got a B in Mikal, you got a B in Cam Johnson, and then you have a whole bunch of other guys that you have no idea about. Whereas there's other teams that have two strong A's that we have to compete against, and I don't know, top three. I want them to be a top three team, but I need to see the other teams in the league and how they're going to perform. I want to see how the Nuggets are going to be with Jamal Murray back, and they also added some other key pieces that I like. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. The West is brutal this year. It is brutal, but it's fun for us.
Hopefully.
Well, we're going to say goodbye now. We hope that you guys all have a great weekend full of great football, whether that's at the ASU tailgate or the Cardinals tailgate. Just remember, Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app to make it even more enjoyable. Right now, customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. That's for new customers, but if that's not enough for you, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? And to make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped up same game parlays once per game day all season long. So it's really simple. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use promo code PHNX when you sign up. Again, that's promo code PHNX on the DraftKings Sportsbook app and make your football season even more enjoyable. Just a reminder, that is minimum age and eligibility restrictions do apply. See show notes for all the details. Next week's going to be fun. Espo, not because Espo's on vacation, but because it's media day and training camp. No, because media day is on Monday. We'll hear from the players. We'll hear from Monty and James Jones for the first time in a really long time. So we're going to have a lot of stuff to share with you guys during that show. Mm-hmm. So make sure you put that in your calendar right now. And, of course, training camp the rest of the week and even more burning questions. So we hope you guys have an excellent weekend. Stay safe. We'll see you guys on Monday. You got to read that last song. I don't want to read it. I don't want to read it. Hello's been mean to me all day. Hello, go take an OG's and come back better on Monday, okay? Damn. I'll try to do the same thing, but no promises. You guys can finish sure. this here. I'm over it. Just kidding. You can follow me on Twitter at LindsaySmithAZ. You can follow Saul at Saul_Bookman.
We didn't know what to do.
You can follow Gerald at Gerald Bourget. And of course, you can follow Espo at Espo. Espo, take us home.
For those of you wondering, hello, said Lindsay. It was a down day for transitions, but I believe you'll be better Monday. I won't be better Monday because I won't be here. Ahoy, hoy. Lindsay, Gerald, Espo. Saul, pass the ball. We here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me. Y'all always wreck the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G. No plan B. Always on the job. My team move like the mob. Turn the beat on. I throw it down like DA on the lob. Best combo since KJ, Marley, and Charles.